Welcome now to the midday for a Wednesday. People getting in a position here in our Buck studio where we have some more live music, an hour of it for you here today for the midday. Quiz question is in hand. We'll have that at 12:30. It's pretty short and simple compared to yesterday's. We have some great prizes to go out to somebody who gets the right answer to the question. Let's see. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me in the studio are members of Clocks in Motion. You may remember them from a previous performance, a percussion ensemble that appeared here on the midday. But in particular, we're going to hear from, I keep wanting to call you an itinerant percussionist, because you're not, you don't usually play with the group, do you, Matthew Coley?
Not usually. This is a guest.
You're usually a solo act?
Yes.
And you play what kind of variety of percussion instruments?
All varieties. I specialize in marimba and hammer dulcimer.
And is that an unusual combination? Because those two instruments are really pretty different from each other, aren't they?
In a way, yes. The technique is still a percussion type of technique on the dulcimer. I'm still striking some sound-producing surface, and kind of fell into the hammer dulcimer through one of my percussion teachers in college.
We'll get to that a little bit more later, because the only piece you're going to be playing the dulcimer on today is the last one, where we'll hear from the whole ensemble. But I want to get to it a little bit closer to that time. But in a nutshell, the hammer dulcimer versus the Appalachian dulcimer, for example?
This instrument that I play is the same instrument. It's an Appalachian hammered dulcimer. It's an American hammered dulcimer. And there are dulcimers that are prevalent and prominent in many cultures in the Northern Hemisphere, especially the Middle East, Eastern Europe, China, and India. And they're very important to the folk music of those countries. This instrument traveled across Europe and then over to the Eastern North America, and has been very popular in American folk music. And in the last 20 or so years, they've really done a lot of development on increasing the range and adding some things like the damper pedal and different technical advancements to make it sound better.
But this is not, like some dulcimers, a lap-sitting instrument.
No, the lap dulcimer is also from that kind of lineage of American folk music. This is just the hammered dulcimer, so we use some short hammers to strike the strings. The lap dulcimer is primarily or exclusively done with the hands, strumming and picking.
Well, you're poised there by the instrument you're going to be playing for most of this hour, and we'll get shortly into that. But what about the varieties of marimbas then?
The marimba that you'll hear is a concert instrument that has developed through the 20th century, early part of the 20th century, from the marimbas in Central America. And that originates from an African instrument, the marimba. And the Central American marimbas are slightly different in sound, because the resonators are made of usually gourd or wood, some natural material, and they'll have a small piece of skin at the very bottom that buzzes. There's a hole there, so when the air travels from striking the bar, you get a buzz sound. So that's very characteristic of the Guatemalan marimbas, and that's also an important part of their musical culture in Central America. And then we had some musicians, classical musicians in North America, travel there and study the instruments in the early 1900s, and brought back some ideas, and they started building concert instruments, changing the sound a little bit, taking away the buzz sound, and really working to just refine the resonance and the tuning of the rosewood bars.
So how does Shostakovich sound on rosewood?
I think it sounds pretty darn good. I mean, it's he wrote for xylophone and some of his orchestral suites, so the piece that I'll play on Shostakovich, or the Shostakovich piece that I'll play on marimba today, is kind of my homage to that xylophone excerpt that all the percussionists spend many, many hours working on through their studies. And so I've done an arrangement from the piano solo to kind of show off this piece a little bit in this tune. It's a quirky little polka tune that he came up with.
After all, it's a keyboard, so I shouldn't be able to pull off what Shostakovich probably wrote on the piano originally.
That's how I feel. Yeah. that piece I had my eye on for several years, and I actually heard in my undergrad a recording in our music library of a marimbist who had done an arrangement of that. And I was immediately struck by that and really sort of connected, of course, because I had, you know, been working hard on the xylophone tune, and but I couldn't find the music. So years later, I came across the piano music and kind of set it aside because I knew I would have to figure out the whole five mallet issue in the middle. I knew I wanted to. I didn't want to leave out that note in the chord. So so it's been like a little labor of love over the years, and I enjoy playing it a lot.
Well, not to rush you at all, Matthew, but a composer who would seem, if anything, even more in league with an instrument like the marimba would be Villa-Lobos. Somehow you just think of the steamy tropics in connection with the sound of the rosewood and the marimba.
Yes, I hear from a lot of people who have never experienced the solo concert marimba that it reminds them a lot of the Caribbean or Central America, which that's great because they're really connecting it to the roots, and so the roots of the instrument. And Villa-Lobos, while he never wrote for the marimba specifically, wrote a lot of guitar, solo guitar music. And that music transcribes really well for the instrument because of the range and the timbre. We also have sort of similar histories in the classical music realm, because the guitar, classical guitar, has maybe a little more jump start on it than we do, but it's a young instrument to the classical music stage.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And so from Villa-Lobos, you have a mazurka and a schottische from one of those popular Brazilian suites of Villa-Lobos.
Yes, this comes from one of his collections of pieces, and he has four or five large collections of solo guitar music. And this is from the Suite Populaire Brésilienne, and it's I arranged several years ago the first two movements of that. It's a five-movement suite, and so I have the mazurka and the schottische. Thank you.
It has a charm, doesn't it? Especially something about those, well, there is such a thing as rubato on a marimba.
Oh, yes, yes. Rubato is part of the expressive qualities that we learn as musicians through lots of years of study and listening mostly. There's so much important aspect of learning music that comes from listening. And so musicians tend to spend any of their free waking moments listening to as much as they can. So I've done a lot of listening to guitar players play this style, and not necessarily just that those pieces, but many other pieces in that style, flamenco style, any of the Latin, Spanish folk music.
I should ask you before you get away, Matthew, what do you do when you're not playing with clocks in motion? And you have this, of course, this solo career, but do you have a home base? Do you have a studio?
I do. I live in Iowa and currently teach at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. I teach in the music department and teach percussionist private lessons and percussion ensemble. I do some composing and then travel as much as I can for performing marimba and collaborating chamber music. And so far it's been a really great year. I've had three wonderful collaborations this year and been traveling a lot. So some days it feels like I don't have a home base, but that's only for temporary time.
That's often a good thing for a musician,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That feeling occasionally. Taking us down to our quiz question, we have something by Bizet.
Yes. So this will be a familiar tune, the Habanera from the opera Carmen. And this summer I was set out to put together a program for the marimba that included popular classical music and show tunes and different things like that to see if I could market this show. So this is kind of come out of that repertoire that I've arranged.
So the Habanera from Carmen. Almost hear the chorus in there. The habanera from Bizet's opera Carmen is performed on the marimba by one of my guests in the Buck studio today for Midday, Matthew Coley. We'll hear again from him and from some others, too, shortly. And now, who's Jeffrey Holmes, Matthew?
Jeffrey is a composer in L.A. He teaches at the Chapman University, I believe, in the suburb, in a suburb of L.A. And Jeffrey composes quite a bit of percussion music. He's written for the L.A. Percussion Quartet as kind of his main go-to ensemble. And he composed a marimba solo that I really enjoy this marimba solo. And so this is, I wanted to represent the repertoire for marimba and not just play completely transcriptions today. But the marimba has a great bit of wonderful music now in the past 30 years. We've kind of built up a nice repertoire. And so he contributed this piece called Narius, and I thought it also would fit nicely on our concert Friday.
You haven't mentioned that yet.
No, we haven't. I just occurred to me. So the concert Friday that I think some of the Clocks guys will speak on a little bit later, it will premiere a new piece that I have written called Pelagic Winter Wanderings.
Of course.
Of course, yes.
An obvious title.
And so this piece was completely inspired, or I was inspired by water and by particularly water in the wintertime and large bodies of water. And so the piece that Jeffrey wrote called Narius is inspired by the old god of the sea. And I think this piece is particularly interesting because he when set out to write this, he really saw in his mind and heard in his ear that the marimba kind of gave a sense of a submerged piano, a piano underwater. And so that really inspired him with the material and the sonic nature of the piece. And so I thought that this would be a nice piece to add to the concert with the premiere that we're doing with the ensemble.
Okay, I guess we can keep in suspense where this premiere is happening and exactly when on Friday. We'll get to that a little bit later. So we were hearing two movements from Narius?
Well, I think I'm going to do three. The first and fourth movement are really short. They're adagio movements that set the tonality for the piece. And then I'll do the second movement, which is a little more of the aggressive part that'll exemplify the flowing water nature of the piece and kind of the submerged piano aspect. So this is Narius 1, 2, and 4.
He made you stretch there some, didn't he? Especially in that first movement. You had your arms stretched out as far as you could, just about to cover some of those notes.
Yes, he really pushed the technique of the instrument with that piece. And we had to, there was a couple of alterations that had to be done that just, they were impossible for the player to actually
details.
Hit. And so there were a few changes, but I really wish that, I hope that this piece will enter into the list of big main marimba pieces that a lot of marimba players are playing in the future.
Well, it occurred to me you could actually have a little extra visual there if you, during some of the pauses, so some of the rests, you actually juggle your sticks, you know? You could really
that, yeah, that would add an extra bit of...
visual element.
Visual element, yeah. Yes. And make the piece kind of over-the-top complex, yeah.
Yeah, well, that... Hey, I'm saying it because it's easy for me to suggest, you know? And in the meantime, we'll be hearing more, not just from percussionist Matthew Coley, who's been playing the marimba for us so far, but from the entire ensemble, Clocks in Motion, in performance with him. And they have a concert. You have a concert coming up. Okay, we've already said this much. Friday, somewhere, sometime, and you're playing something. Well, yeah. What would it be, Dave?
We're playing at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery in the HF DeLuca Forum. And that's on the corner of University and Charter.
That'd be a
and
great place, that almost kind of flying saucer kind
right,
of
right, it's a circular
there,
room. Yeah. It's really, really nice acoustics, wood floors. And the concert's at 7:30 on Friday. And tickets are available at the door, or you can get them at our website, clocksinmotionpercussion.com. And as we were talking about before, Matthew's going to be playing a lot of marimba pieces for the first half of the concert as a soloist, and then we're going to be joining him in the second half, premiering his new piece that he composed, and we'll be playing two other pieces, one which you'll hear today, and another trio for dulcimer and percussion. So the second half is all dulcimer and percussion, the first half is solo marimba.
And you're going to hear the combination of dulcimer and marimba ensemble here. I guess it's fair to say it that way. And but first we need to hear, in case it's not going to be distinctive enough against this background of marimbas, the sound of the dulcimer itself. And as we said before, Matthew, this is not one of those lap models. It's a larger piece, bigger range, but it's still played with the hammers, or really they're more like almost like swabs on sticks.
Yes, these. So the hammers. These are custom hammers, and I get a dulcimer maker in Virginia to make these for me. And when I started playing the instrument, my main goal was to produce more chamber music for it. So classical, contemporary chamber music. You know, there's many, many player folk musicians who do an amazing job playing the instrument, and I was just going to let those guys do that, and I was going to I wanted to see if I could take it in some different directions. And so the first thing I ran up against was balance with an ensemble of, you know, four or five other musicians. So I had a maker make me these hammers that are a little longer and a little wider, and so they have a hard wood edge, which you'll hear mostly in this piece, and sounds like this. And then the hammers also have a rawhide or leather side to soften that sound, and that sounds like this.
So we'll hear it in the context now of this piece. It's a fantasy by a composer named Luta. So.
Yes, Valeriu Luta. We'll go with that. He's Moldavian, and I haven't met him personally, but I had visited Moldova couple times in the past and found this music there. I had purchased several volumes of cymbalum dulcimer music, so Eastern European dulcimer music. And so this was one of the tunes out of that book that, that really struck me and was my favorite from that collection.
Thank you.
I feel as if I've been on a world tour in just 8 minutes. fantasy, indeed. Fantasy, indeed. And the composer's name again?
Valeriu Luta.
A Moldavian composer.
Moldavian, yes.
Moldavian, yes. Great stuff. And we've been hearing the sound of the dulcimer, the hammer dulcimer, and also a variety of other percussion. They're all percussion instruments, mm-hmm. since you're playing it with a hammer, although it's a stringed instrument. And we've been hearing from virtuoso dulcimer and marimba virtuoso Matthew Coley, who's playing with Clocks in Motion, also providing music here at the last. And they're going to be performing in the Forum at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery this Friday night, and you can get tickets there. And thanks, one and all, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Norman.
Forward to your return.